Purchase and sale agreement. Once both the buyer and seller agree upon the terms in the signed letter of intent, you are ready for your attorney to draft up the purchase and sale agreement, or you can use a standard form from an agency you may be working with. This is where you communicate all the specifics of the sale. In other words, you list exactly what each party is going to do to complete the deal. These can be tens of pages in length, and some negotiation takes place here as well. Purchase and sale agreements always spell out how the seller will provide information on the property's current operations. They list critical dates, including when your deposit becomes non-refundable, when the due diligence evaluation period ends, and your close date. There can be plenty of back and forth between the buyer's and the seller's attorneys, but this usually goes much quicker than the letter of intent. That's where the bulk of the deal is hashed out. When you get ready to actually sign the purchase and sale agreement, you will have to put down earnest money, which usually is fully refundable until the completion of the due diligence process and you've secured financing, which we'll talk about later. There is some important language that I make sure is in every contract we sign. That language is as follows. Purchase price. What is the total price? Down payment. How much do you need down? What is the initial deposit to open escrow and start your detailed research? Who holds the buyer's deposit in escrow, and when does it become non-refundable? What are the time frames after the agreement acceptance date, especially for contingencies and close of escrow dates? What are the prorations for rents, taxes, insurance, security deposits, all of which should be split between buyer and seller at close of escrow? When will the title report be delivered and what is in it? What are the financing contingencies, including getting a new loan or assuming the existing one? What are the due diligence timeframes, including receipt of all books and records, rental agreements, operating statements, rent rolls, personal property inventories, service contracts, utility information, property line surveys, environmental reports, building plans, engineering reports, or any recent appraisals? As the buyer, you must receive all of these before the due diligence period begins. What is the time frame to perform the pest control inspections? What are the time frames for the physical inspections of all interior and exterior spaces, including units and common areas? Does the seller have any information with regard to lead-based paint or mold and other allergens? Again, the contract law governing the sale of commercial property varies by state, so you want to make sure that you consult a qualified attorney. By now, however, you should have one on your team, and he or she should be familiar with your specific goals. Work closely with your attorney and your broker to make sure you receive the items promised in the agreement on time. Contingencies. Your attorney will be able to advise you about contingencies. Contingencies are provisions within a contract that give you recourse to cancel the deal in event of unforeseen circumstances. A few examples of a typical contingency include loan contingencies and due diligence contingencies. These are critical, and I recommend that they be in every purchase and sale agreement. A loan contingency states that a sale is contingent on you qualifying for the loan. This gives you an out should a lender refuse to finance the deal. I won't do a contract that doesn't have a loan contingency. We were managing a project where a buyer put a deposit of $200,000 in earnest money on a property that didn't have a loan contingency. He didn't get the loan. The sad ending is that he lost his $200,000. True story. Due diligence contingencies are equally as important. This language in a purchase and sale agreement states that you, as the buyer, are entitled to any and all documents related to the property. It also states that you as a buyer may ask any questions about the property and that you are due answers from the seller to the best of his or her knowledge in a timely manner. As you will come to find out in the next section, the results of the due diligence process are ultimately what decides your purchase or decline of the property. They also help you formulate your property plan and operating budget, two steps critical in maximizing your investment. This clause ensures that you get all the information you need. Signing the agreement. Once both the buyer and the seller agree upon the terms of the agreement, you have a completed purchase and sale agreement that is ready to sign and date. This agreement is binding, and in most cases, you will be asked to put down an earnest money deposit on the date that you sign the contract. Again, this earnest money is fully refundable, and you can walk away from the deal until you have completed and waived the contingencies, such as due diligence and getting the loan. And that's what we'll cover in the next section. But as binding as the agreement is, with the right language built in, you can walk away, extend your dates, or adjust your offer based on the findings during due diligence. We have rescinded our offers on a few properties for just cause. In fact, there was one property that we pursued through the signing of the purchase and sale agreement. During the due diligence investigation process, the structural engineer on our team found that the building was built on what they term in Arizona, expansive soil. What that means is that the soil expands and contracts more than normal and can cause foundation problems. Knowing that, we looked further and found a 20-foot hairline crack in the pool, small foundation cracks, and exterior wall separations. This was indicative of bigger problems that could be incredibly costly, and we felt the risk was too great. So we sent a letter to the seller stating that we were rescinding our purchase offer in accordance with the terms of the agreement.